Welcome to the 12th episode of the podcast of the TransRegio Collaborative Research Center 179. This collaborative research center is funded by the German Research Foundation and is engaged in research into hepatitis virus infections at the locations Heidelberg, Freiburg, and Munich. Today's episode will be in English, and we will be discussing hepatitis D or hepatitis delta treatments. We've got two guests today, Professor Stefan Urban from Heidelberg, who's one of the principal investigators of this collaborative research center and is the inventor of Bulevirtide, a compound that revolutionized treatment of hepatitis D infection. Welcome, Stefan.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome, Tobias.
Our special guest today is Professor Pietro Lombardi from Milan, who has spearheaded the clinical development of Bulevirtide and is one of the most renowned hepatitis B and D clinician scientists worldwide. Thanks for joining us and welcome, Pietro.
Thank you very much, Tobias. Thank you very much for the introduction. Very happy to be here.
So, Pietro, let's start with you right away. Can you please just, for our guests who are not too familiar with hepatitis D, introduce what hepatitis D or hepatitis delta is and in how far it differs from the more popular chronic viral infections such as HCV and HBV?
So hepatitis delta is really a chronic liver disease in most of the cases. It's a rare infection or rare disease. And approximately 10-20 million people across the globe have this chronic delta hepatitis. And it's unique in terms of the virus. The virus is RNA, requires another virus, the hepatitis B, specifically the S antigen hepatitis B, for propagation but not for replication. So we call hepatitis delta, but actually it's always a co-infection hepatitis B and hepatitis delta. So it's a rare disease, but another unique feature is a very aggressive liver disease. It's the most aggressive form of chronic viral disease, more aggressive than HPV and more aggressive than HCV. And the other issue, which is very important, hepatitis delta has been discovered in 1977, but for the last 43 years, there's been no approved therapy for hepatitis delta. So overall, rare but severe disease with no antiviral therapy being available for many years.
Okay, thank you, Pietro. And Stefan, so now who's at risk for that? Pietro already mentioned that hepatitis D needs a co-virus hepatitis B. So how does a person who's got HBV infection know whether he or she has HDV co-infection?
Yeah. The risk is, the risk are people that express envelope proteins of hepatitis B virus. So these can be chronically infected B patients that have B mono infection for a long time, can be super infected, and then get the virus into the liver, and the replication of the delta virus continues without the help of B first, but it is then enveloped and can propagate further, and that's very important. So the helper function that the B virus is doing for delta is the provision of envelope proteins that makes these delta virus hepatotropic, like the HPV virus, and also causing disease by inflammation, etc. The important point is that the bare need of just the envelope proteins does not allow B-specific therapies to act against the delta virus. And the common point that both viruses can be addressed with therapeutically is the envelope proteins, and that's actually what we're doing with an entry inhibitor that prevents the recognition of the receptor by B and D, which is shared by both.
Yeah, so but that means for people that are infected with HBV, they need to be tested and they need to be checked.
That's of course those that are S antigen positive, those people that express envelope proteins from the B virus, either from the genome of the B virus or from an integrate, they are potentially those that are replicating the virus, and they should be tested. That's the guidelines, at least in Europe. It's not so easy because this is not always done. Many people we have a lot of underdiagnosis that although we know we should test them, are not tested yet, and we should always do that.
So test, test, test. I think that's the first important thing that we need to get out there. And now both of you already referred to new therapies or entry inhibition, and that obviously brings us to bulevirtide, the compound that you, Stefan, developed and that is now available for several years in many parts of Europe, at least. And Pietro, you've been involved in the clinical development of that compound, and you've been part of all the big trials. Which patients actually benefit from that new therapy? And are there also patients where you feel, well, here, bulevirtide is probably not the answer?
Well, Tobias, you know, again, this is the first and only approved drugs again, hepatitis delta in Europe, in UK, Russian Federation, Australia. So, and we know that chronic hepatitis delta is a very fast progressive disease. So from the clinical point of view, all patients should be considered for antiviral therapy against hepatitis delta according to European guidelines. And in my view, all patients should be considered for treatment with bulevirtide monotherapy 2 mg because it's the only drug available. And I don't think, I cannot think of any clinical condition where there is a contraindication to start today bulevirtide monotherapy. Of course, maybe waiting for new and better drugs in 3-5 years. Why not? But for now, it's the only chance.
So what about patients with HCC?
Well, you know, we have collected a lot of real-world data from Europe and from Italy, other countries. And actually, some of the patients had HCC at the time they started bulevirtide. And some of the patients develop HCC during long-term bulevirtide. And I do not see any reason why they should not be started on bulevirtide if they have HCC, or I do not see any reason why they should stop bulevirtide if they develop HCC during therapy.
Okay, and how about decompensated cirrhosis? So patients with very advanced liver disease.
So technically, antiviral therapy with bulevirtide, according to the insert package and EMA label, is considered on-label or in-label only for patients with compensated liver disease, so up to child A cirrhosis. However, we already published one paper in 15, a collaborative paper with German investigators in 15 patients with child B patients. And actually, it was safe and effective. And there is a recent study from France, recently published, where they look at the efficacy and safety of bulevirtide in 5 child C patients. Again, little number, few patients, but again, safe and effective. So although off-label, you know, in my clinical practice, we use bulevirtide 2 mg monotherapy, even in child B patients.
Because, I mean, from thinking about how the bulevirtide works, there should not be any problems, right? Nothing to anticipate.
Exactly. From the clinical point of view, we did not see any issue with safety or with efficacy so far.
So then you already referred to monotherapy, Pietro, but what about combination therapy? So, Stefan, how do you think interferon plays into that? Because there's also data out there, and there's also been trials on interferon for better efficacy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, initially patients, when bulevirtide was not available yet, were treated with interferon as an off-label therapy for HPV, and it was known that there is an effect of interferon suppressing hepatitis delta, with some of them even clearing the virus. But this is, first of all, a therapy that cannot be used for every patient because many of them are already progressed so far. Many of them have been pretreated, and you get kind of rebound as well. So there is efficacy of that interferon. What we did, we were looking at molecular biology level, what interferon is doing for Delta. And we should understand that the Delta virus is not only replicating in the way that it is enveloped by the B virus and then can get to the next cell in order to infect the next hepatocyte. It can also spread itself in the liver, so persist in the liver by cell division. So under certain circumstances, a cell division of a delta positive cell can lead to 2 replicating delta virus. And what we found is that this is heavily blocked, or profoundly blocked by interferon directly. So there's a kind of direct antiviral effect of interferon on delta spread in the liver. And this is synergistic with the envelope protein-mediated transmission of the viral particles. So we have here two ways of how we can interfere with delta replication persistence in the liver, entry inhibition plus interferon. And the prediction was that this is synergistic. Yeah.
So how does that now translate into clinical trials?
Maybe that can, Pietro can explain that, because that was a nice thing to see the prediction coming along with the outcome, the clinical outcome.
So yes, indeed, there is a very strong biological and virological rationale for combining the drugs. And this is the good part of the story. However, there are some clinical issues. First of all, 80% of my patients in our outpatient clinic, Delta clinics, are really have been already exposed to interferon in the last 20 years, maybe more than one cycle. So, and they really, you know, they're not really happy to restart interferon. Second, interferon, as mentioned already by Stefan, cannot be used in many conditions. And of course, whenever you use interferon, you know, you have side effects and safety issues. And the knowledge of interferon across the new generation of doctors is very limited, by the way. I know how to use, you, Tobias, probably know very well, but the new doctors never use interferon for B, never use interferon for C, never used for Delta so far. Yeah. So that's an issue. The last issue is about study design. So the 204 study suggested that if you compare 1 year of interferon monotherapy versus 2 years of bulevirtide monotherapy and the first year combination with interferon, and then you look at the data of therapy, there is no difference. So 48 injections with interferon over 1 year provide the same off-therapy results compared to almost, you know, 800 or 900 injections with interferon and bulevirtide. So there is no point. But the on-therapy data are much higher with the de novo combination than monotherapy, either one. And the 10 milligram data, which is not available, unfortunately, bulevirtide plus interferon, provided a 75% negative viremia on therapy and 46% off therapy. So potentially with 10 milligram, it looks very promising, but 10 milligram, unfortunately, is not available for now.
So, and what about supply chains with interferon? Because that's at least a problem that we have here in many patients that are treated with both. There's problems with getting regular injections because the pharmacies are not able to get their hands on the drug, right?
Same problem that we face also in Italy. Yes, that's another problem.
Okay, so that means for now it might be promising, but at least for those who are not eligible for interferon treatment, it's not too bad because there's really not much of an added benefit, at least when we look at the off treatment data. Okay, so now, what about treatment failures? Do we see these in bulevirtide-treated patients? And first of all, what is a treatment failure? So what are the patients that we say, well, here it's not looking good, you know, viremia fluctuates. First, they have nice responses, then they rebound after a couple of months. So how would you define a treatment failure? Maybe again, Pietro.
So I don't think there is a general agreement on the definition of treatment failure. We have a definition of virological treatment failure. Normally is defined as less than one log decline of viremia by year one. And maybe a biochemical treatment failure or no changes of ALT at year one. But from the practical point of view, you know, bulevirtide is very effective on ALT levels. So if you combine no virological decline and no ALT improvements, that is very rare condition. Probably 5% of the patients at year one, even going down below 5% at year two. So from the clinical point of view, remember, most of the patients have cirrhosis. 50% of the patients have compensated cirrhosis with esophageal varices. There is no alternative therapy, so clinical benefit, as long as you have a reduction of ALT levels consistent over time, even without a virologic response. From the clinical point of view, again, waiting for new strategies in the future, I think that's a very good clinical benefit, and we do not stop for now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll add, it's a very important point here to discriminate that failure in virological response, in that sense, by definition of less than one log decline, does not necessarily mean that the patient doesn't fully benefit from a treatment because he normalizes ALT levels. What is very important, because this is even decoupled, so we have even some few that do not respond at all virologically, but respond regarding biochemical responses. What we don't understand yet is why that is. Yeah. So the clinical practice is quite clear, but we still don't understand why that is. What we see is also in interesting in monotherapy. If we only look at virological responses, we see many different ways that patients react. So we see some that profoundly reduce viremia versus some that only slightly reduce viremia, although they normalize ALT levels, maybe both. Yeah. And we should not forget that viremia is a surrogate marker. We do not know whether we already decline HDV RNA in the liver in both. Yeah, that could be the case. Yeah, if we just would assume that there are delta-producing cells, yeah, that do not contribute very much to the outcome. Yeah, but would provide higher levels of viremia.
Yeah.
It's important, I think, to make that difficult thing for benefit.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is obviously a very important point. The question only coming from the clinical side is always, how do you define that benefit? Because in the German label, it actually says you can treat as long as there's a clinical benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that situation where you have really a benefit on the virological data or the biochemical data, then it is difficult to argue that there's still a benefit. So, you know, that's just, but that's, again, as you said, Pietro, very few patients.
Yeah, that's a rare event. In our practice, it's probably 1-2%. It's not frequent.
Yeah. Okay, so Stefan, what else beyond bulevirtide for HDV infection? We just heard it's the only thing that is currently on the table. What is on the horizon?
Yeah, on the horizon are some interesting therapies that may come up. They're even in phase 2 trials. Yeah. One is the use of monoclonal antibodies against the envelope proteins of HBV. So there are also developments within HBV, novel therapies, antibodies that go against the S part of the virus that would then also act in a way that they prevent the attachment to the hepatocyte. There are other antibodies, only one company in China developing this kind of Prius part, which is very similar to the target of the bulevirtide, but they target the virus in order to bind and enter the hepatocyte. They have been shown very effective. They have even been shown to be, regarding viremia, more effective than bulevirtide on its own, which may be due, or probably is due, to the additional benefits the antibody have by faster turning over the virus from the serum. Whether they have a faster kinetic of decline of HDV-infected cells in the liver, we will see in the clinical trial. They're not as far advanced with long-term trials so far. This is one point. There are siRNAs against the S antigen as well. So the reduction of producing envelope proteins in the liver would, of course, repress also the secretion of the virus and have a direct effect on viremia.
Now all of these things that you're just mentioning, including bulevirtide, actually, none of them targets HDV directly. So why don't they work in HBV mono infection?
Why don't
For example, I mean, why is bulevirtide? Let's stick with that example. Why is it only approved for HDV? Why is it not working as good in HBV monoinfection as it is in co-infection?
Maybe we don't know exactly. Stefan, what do you think?
First of all, I would not share that that idea. We only have data of HBV, HDV co-infected patients regarding S antigen declines, etc., which is a very special population, and whether there is a direct antiviral effect on the HBV virus, that is still questionable. What we need is a larger study of such an entry inhibitor, as bulevirtide, for example, in HBV in mono-infected patients. This would be one important point to understand, especially E antigen positive, to understand whether we can get a decline of viremia in these naive patients. That is lacking. That may also reflect some decline in CCC DNA. I think it will not be as fast as HDV. That will be a general problem. So this kind of therapy will not be a short-term therapy. It may help to decline CCC DNA in a certain way. But there are possible combinations that we can think of, which are, I personally, maybe just some speculations, find very interesting. One is, if you combine it with interferon in Delta patient, we saw some reactivation probably of the immune response of those patients. We also don't understand exactly how that worked, but that could be something that helps to eliminate HBV from patients. I will say another thing that is an interesting question. There is a lot of nuke stop. What we know, if we stop a nucleoside analog treatment in HBV mono infection, we get a rebound of virus. That's clear, because virus is then replicating and immediately produced by the cells. But these then can induce an immune reaction at a certain point, but they still can infect new hepatocytes. What would be if we combine a nuke stop with an entry inhibitor at a certain state? That could be much more effective than not preventing the de novo infection. Another short part, all kind of a preventive treatment, mother to child transmission, liver transplantation, all these kind of things where entry inhibitors are probably very good to prevent reinfection of the liver or needle stick injuries and giving it immediately. That would be very efficient, I could imagine, and would be also something that one can use in order to replace human immunoglobulins, for example.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. So Pietro, then last question to you, because Stefan just mentioned it. Have you ever stopped nukes in your bulevirtide-treated patients?
No, actually, the indication is the opposite. So far, the indication is if you start antiviral therapy for Delta and now it's only bulevirtide, but new drugs will arrive, always treat in parallel also long-term with nukes the same patient, just to avoid any issue about relapse, about flares, interpretation, relapse interpretation, whatever. It's just a sort of safe management. I don't think there is a major effect on Delta in general, but it's just to make it kind of easier, the job of clinicians.
Yeah. But so that also means, because you've earlier said monotherapy.
And monotherapy means, for Delta does not mean nuke.
Yeah.
Monotherapy, nuke, everybody, and monotherapy for Delta, just because nuke is not specific for Delta, let's say. I'm sorry, it's an issue about terminology. But
no,
maybe I was not clear.
No, I get that. And so now, but since Stefan brought it up, would you put your patients in that trial? Stopping nukes and keeping bulevirtide?
You mean in B patients or in Delta patients?
Either or.
Well, then we need a clinical trial.
Fine with me.
I'm not aware of any clinical trial on that. Actually, there will be 4 new phase 3 trial in Delta starting in 2025. And 0 phase 3 trial starting HBV mono infection in 2025. So that's a big difference. So somehow, thanks to Stefan, the field of hepatitis Delta is moving faster, than HBV, which was unthinkable 3 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. That was super informative, super interesting. And let's meet again in a year or two when we have all that phase 3 data that Pietro just referred to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Bye. Take care.